Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review.
This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 146 for comics originally released on May 26, 2010. Now, before we get into our books, I want to talk about how this episode's a little bit different than what we normally do. Normally, we pick a DC, a Marvel, and a book from some other publisher, talk about those. But we're actually recording this on May 26th, which is before our books would come through DCBS. We're doing this because you're going on a trip, Bob, of course. And we decided to take advantage of that and expand our reading list and pick things we don't normally get. Now, I'm pretty sure, I know none of these are things that I had on my list, and they weren't stuff you were getting either, correct?
Nope. None of them were things that were on my list.
So normally, everything we pick has kind of that tacit approval level of, it at least was interesting enough in a solicitation to get us to buy it. This is stuff that didn't pass that metric, but when we were going through the, well, here's what shipped, we'll get that because that's what we didn't get from DC or what we didn't get from Marvel or whatever. So I think that's going to, I don't want to say color our reviews or whatever, but I think it certainly raises the bar and that these had to go under a bit more scrutiny and had a higher level to pass than normal. I also want to do a quick shout out to Eric and Roy at Tribe Comics and Games. That's the local store I go to when I need to get stuff off the rack. They were kind enough to pull the three books for me this week, since again I wasn't getting them through DCBS due to the time frame. It's a great store. They're down at on Manshack by South Lamar here in Austin, Texas. Definitely worth checking out. Where did you wind up getting your books from this week?
Oh, where I always get my books. Comics, Toons, and Toys in Newport Avenue in Tustin, just east of the 5 Freeway on Newport Avenue. I went in last week and I picked up some earlier issues of the one so I would kind of have a background of it. And then I picked up the issues that we're reviewing today there. And they always have a great selection of not just indie books, but I mean, even some of these more, you know, like lower cap Marvel books, like the Soleil books. We're going to be reviewing a Soleil book. I've been in lots of shops that I don't think even carry those books. And I can always count on them to have those samples of things that, you know, just many, many other stores I go in just would not even have. Even some very well thought of popular stores, I've gone in and asked for things and they're like, oh, we don't carry that, but I can special order it for you. Well, at least they'll special order it for me, but they don't order it just, you know, out of hand. But Comics, Toons, and Toys, they always have them, you know, at least a copy or two on the shelf.
Yeah, it's a good store. You've taken me there when I was out your neck of the woods. I will say I had to go elsewhere to get the previous issue of Unknown Soldier, since the one we're covering is the second issue of a story, and the first two issues of Tales of the Dragon Guard. And the store I went to goes with genre racking. So after checking every shelf I could find of new comics at least once, and at least three quarters of the shelves a second time, I finally, you know, asked somebody, can you help me find? They looked around. They had to go ask. It was also the lady's first day, so I'll cut her a little slack. She was very nice and stuff. She had to ask somebody else where it was. That guy, who'd been working at the store for a while, is like, well, gee, I don't know, but there are a couple of places it could be. Let's go look over here, over here. He found it pretty quick, and it was hidden on a bottom shelf that you couldn't really see the logo because of the angle and stuff. But that's kind of the double-edged sword of just having so much stuff and having it in a very, what I found to be a cryptic organizational pattern. I mean, studies have been done, and it says it usually takes somebody at least three visits to a store to really kind of get a mental map of the place. I've been to this particular comic store dozens of times, and I still get confused every time I go there. But they did have the issues, so that counts for something. And it's a good store.
I've been there before, and that genre mapping doesn't work for me either, because it's like, what genre a book's going to fall into in in some cases is open to interpretation, and, you know, stores where they just put things in alphabetical order, you know, or even by publisher and then alphabetical within publisher, it's way easy to find books.
Yeah, and I'm a simple guy who gets easily confused, so, but got the stuff. So, shall we dig into our first book for the week?
Sure. We took a look at Unknown Soldier from Vertigo Comics, and since issue 20 that came out this week was the second part of a storyline, we also went and picked up, since we hadn't been reading the book, issue 19 and read 19 and 20.
Yeah, I think it's only fair to kind of start at the beginning of a story arc and, you know, at least kind of meet the people halfway or whatever. I enjoyed the 12-issue series DC did back, I guess, in the 1990s on Unknown Soldier. And it was almost more of a soldier-spy kind of a take on the character. I haven't really been following the character since. Obviously haven't been reading this title. So when I was going through issue 19, I was really kind of completely confused when the Unknown Soldier went into action for the first time. He made some comment about, you know, not knowing what's going his own body is doing or whatever, and I'm like, what's going on here? I also felt that issue was very heavy on voiceover captions, and it was like somebody was giving a report on the events as we're kind of watching them unfold. So it's not like we were being told the story, but we were getting somebody's take on the story, which was interesting. And I don't know if that's a new device or standard for this title, and maybe somebody reading it can tell us.
Well, I mean, there seems to be, it wasn't explicit in here, but I mean, it's pretty clear that he's got some other person. I don't know whether it's some other personalities inside his head that will sometimes take over his body. And it's when you get those black captions and it's referring to him as Moses, which is, I assume, his name, the main character. Now, I don't know if that's a split personality, if that's the ghost of a dead brother, or, you know, it's not made clear in the story, which, you know, to some extent, you don't need to beat people over the head with that kind of stuff each and every issue. So it's not a detriment to the series, in my opinion, that they don't make it clear. I mean, I was able to, it didn't detract, it didn't make the story unreadable or unenjoyable to me.
And
it's just something where it's like, I don't really quite get what's going on here.
And I would agree with that. That's exactly how I felt. It didn't detract from the story, but I was a little confused. It's also a major shift from my last reading of An Unknown Soldier, which again is a different soldier presumably from this, or maybe it's that unknown soldier inhabiting this one. I don't know what's going on. It was interesting, not overly intriguing to the point of, wow, I'm hooked. And it was one of those that, is this an ongoing mystery? Do regular readers understand what's going on now? I don't know, because I haven't been reading. And while the voiceover narration is not a story device I like, it worked pretty well in issue 19. It worked very well in issue 20. Different narrator, different vantage point and speaker, clearly. And this time we knew who it was because he was in the story. Again, I don't really care for that device, but it's used damn well here. It gives the story a unique, well, literally voice, but viewpoint, and allows them to show one thing and then kind of put a different spin on it with a narration around that. And it was funny because I really liked this. I thought it was effectively done. It was kind of violent for really both issues, a little more so with this one. And it's really good stuff. It's just not the sort of thing I care for, but it's one that, frankly, particularly with issue 20 here and stuff, you know, it's telling a very solid story, and one I'd feel comfortable recommending, even if I don't necessarily stick with it.
Now, I read the, I don't know if you might have missed this, but there was a kind of, not the letters page, but a note from the author right opposite the last page of the story in number 20. Kara Moja, the representational breaking point of the Unknown Soldier, and is talking about these people in Africa that, you know, this story was set place, and it gives a little background there and stuff. It just seemed, it gave some pretty interesting background to what was going on.
I saw it and did not read it, didn't realize what it was. Anything where they try to, you know, give relevance and reality to a story, it's like, I'm too lazy for that. I mean, it's an interesting take on the Unknown Soldier. Again, very different than the one before, but not in a way that I felt was disrespectful to the one before, but also not trying to follow in those footsteps necessarily.
I mean, I thought it was very well done. I can see that there was a, you know, the story was very well put together. It wasn't, and I like war stories normally, and it was a little, I'm trying to think of a good way to put it, is like maybe a little too relevant for me.
Yes.
You know, it just was a little maybe too realistic, and you know, it just kind of pulled me out of the escapism that I'll usually go and read a comic book for. Now, for me, you know, it's just that's me. I can really see how there's a lot of people I've talked to, you know, a lot being more than two, that really love this series. And I can completely see that. I can understand how someone can be in love with this series because it is very well done. Not my particular cup of tea, though.
And that's where I came down to. It's one that if somebody said, oh, they love it, it's 5 out of 5, I can completely see it. Because, again, I thought that the execution was exceedingly well done. It was an engaging story. And I'm very much not a fan of war stories. And I think you hit the nail on the head with it being suitably realistic and having a dark, I don't say grim and gritty tone because of that, but not in a trying to be dark or grim and gritty, but just it having a realistically
yeah. Just very dark, you know, kind of thing. It's like it's just seeing the, you know, very realistic way and the circumstances these people live in was just kind of depressing. You know, I don't like to come away from reading a comic book feeling depressed. So, you know, that's me.
Well, and more so with issue 20 than 19, because 19 had a bit more of the explosive action and a little more action-y over the top type stuff. Whereas 20 was a very down and personal kind of a story. So,
you know, from that respect, I mean, it was extremely well written.
Yes. But to me, you that's know, almost to where it became a detriment.
Kind of
a,
right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, to evoke that kind of reaction, I mean, it has to be very well written.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this is easily a strong 4 out of 5. The main reason I can't give it a 5 out of 5 is that would imply I'd be keep getting it because I loved it. And I certainly respect it. I thought it was good. It's not the kind of story or storytelling style I typically care for. It's the kind of thing, if I had to keep reading it for some reason, yeah, I probably could. Good, well done, just not for me.
I felt much the same way. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was an extremely well-written story. And for someone who likes war stories and they also like relevance and, you know, just very emotionally impactful stories, you should really try it out because it, at least from these two issues, it is not just a vacuous war book. It really seems to, you know, be something more than that. So it's worth giving it a try.
Agreed.
Now, next up, we had Tales of the Dragon Guard from Soleil imprint at Marvel. And I'll have to admit that I just kind of overlook and go past a lot of these books when they get solicited. And when I first saw these, it's like they're $5.99, and I'm like, wow, $5.99. Especially when I picked the comic up in the store, and I'm like, well, it seems like it's a regular comic book. But even though it's got a staple, it's 46 pages of story in this comic. It's 46 pages of story and art for $5.99, and that's well worth it because, you know, normally you get 22 pages for $2.99 or $3.99 in many cases at Marvel. So, I mean, you're getting more than double what a normal issue, you know, is. So it's priced right. It's just deceptively so because a lot of times those issues have that square-bound format to them, and this doesn't. It seems to. And the other thing, there's like absolutely no ads in the book. So that usually adds a lot of pages, too.
Yeah, I would classify this as deceptively thin. And it was one of those things that, you know, we're recording this right after we recorded you know, episode 145. So I had to read the books for that. The two issues of Unknown Soldier, I read all three issues of Tales of the Dragon Guard, and then the indie book we're doing this week. So 9 books, which I thought, oh, it'll only take me about an hour or whatever. But then, you know, I start going through Dragon Guard, and it's like, I hadn't really factored in that these are twice as long as normal, and I almost will say denser books. I mean, not in a bad way in terms of, like, I had to plod through it or anything, but each issue had a very full, complete story, an in-depth story, and it didn't have the light, airy decompressedness that you have in many other books.
What I found interesting, because I bought, you know, those first two issues over the weekend, same as Unknown Soldier 19, and I read them over the weekend. You know, so today, before the show, I only had to read issue 3 and Unknown Soldier 20, you know. But it's interesting that you have this world set up, and there's certain themes that run from issue to issue, but each one of these three issues of Dragon Guard was pretty much a self-contained story.
Oh, I would say entirely self-contained, with a callback to a previous issue, maybe, yeah, and in the same world, but I think we could have read just this third issue and been fine.
That's right. And, you know, interestingly, I liked the third issue best of the three.
I would say so, because I was jotting down a couple of notes as I read through them. And the first one, we get this great opening splash of the city, very nice visual. It's like, wow, that's cool. Then we go to what I felt was a cliche barroom brawl. And, you know, the next comment I've got is, like, I thought Unknown Soldier was a little violent. Damn, that first issue of Tales of the Dragon Guard was more violent and just kind of gory. Not bad, good standalone story, a little more fantasy than I go for. Hit the second issue, and I loved the transition using a girl that was saved in the first story, so we see her. But now she's the lead character of the second issue. You know, so it's like, okay, this is an interesting kind of a shift of perspective, shift of character, stuff like that. That's cool. Another cliche barroom brawl, what a surprise. Still a good story. This one I felt was a different story than the other two, a different take on it, whatever, and I felt got a little further into the world. Again, not the sort of thing I typically read, but all in all three issues were really well done. I felt this had probably stronger art than the other two, but I liked all three of them. Don't know that I'd necessarily get more if they offer more or not, but it's also certainly not something I would say, ah, oh, no way would I get more. It was entertaining.
I'll echo a lot of that, but for me, I mean, the gore and violence, you know, it doesn't bother me at all, because I like reading, you know, Avatar comics and Conan and, you know, lots of other, and kind of the sword and sorcery where you have people, you know, fighting dragons with swords and, you know, that kind of fantasy type of thing. I really like those kinds of stories, and these were very well done for these stories. And just kind of the premise, let's give a little bit of a premise of the thing for people, because we haven't done that yet. The world of Dragon Guard is set up that these dragons exist, and where the dragons come into start to live, some mystical force emanates out from that dragon, and the older the dragon gets, the longer it's been in some place, the farther out this force goes. They call it the Veil, and it corrupts plant life. It takes human beings and it kind of affects them. They start growing, you know, mutations. It affects them mentally. They become violent, and, you know, just bad things happen. But the only people who are not affected by this for some reason are virgin females. So there's this order of the Dragon Guard where they take young girls from a very young age. They teach them to be warriors. And then these girls are able to go out and they're able to battle the dragons. Also, another kind of plot device is the dragons are not actually able to perceive the virginal girls. They can see other people. So you have these tales where, you know, kind of a core of it, you have these dragon knights who are these female warriors, and they're going out, and their task is to slay some dragon who's having a corrupting influence on some part of the land. And, you know, that's the kind of theme behind each of the vignettes that they they tell the story of here.
And I thought that was a very cool concept, very different thing, and really kind of gave a interesting shifting rules of reality kind of feel to it. It's like you go too far towards the dragon, things just naturally get harder or whatever. So it was interesting. I hadn't really encountered that approach to the stories and stuff before, so it was cool.
So, I mean, I liked it a lot. I gave it, personally, for me, because I like fantasy type of stories and I like this, I gave it a 5 out of 5. I am absolutely glad that we did this episode where we kind of purposely went out to buy something we don't normally buy, because I would not have stumbled upon this. I also, without having picked it up and actually looked at it and read it, I've seen some of these Soleil books before, and I'm just like, wow, $5.99, that just seems like a lot. They don't seem like there's a lot there. But when I get right down to it and I'm reading it, it's more than your money's worth in the value of the story and the art that you get in these books. I'm absolutely glad I read this. I would buy them again in a heartbeat, and if there's another series of these that come out, you know, Tales of the Dragon Guard 2 or whatever, with more of these stories, I will absolutely be on board for buying them.
Interesting. Again, I'm not as much into kind of the sword and sorcery or the fantasy and stuff, so it had a little bit more of a barrier to get past for me. I still enjoyed this stuff. It's certainly different than most of what I'm reading, but it's the kind of thing, if I'd missed it, I'd have been okay. I thought it was well done, but not necessarily brilliantly done. Good ideas. The execution in a few places a little either cliche or just okay. I mean, again, nothing bad. For me, I would say it's a strong 3, possibly a low 4, but I'm going to go with the 3, both for this issue and just kind of overall. Certainly, though, on the value for the money, knocks it out of the park. And I think that may have been part of it for me, is having to read so much tonight. You know, I hit some of these and, you know, by the time I hit this 3rd issue, I'd already read, you know, 92 pages of Dragon Guard's story. It was still good, but it's like, wow, there's more. So I totally commend them for, you know, packing as much story in as they do. And certainly I think the next time we do a previews teleconference and stuff like that, that we'll both be spending a little more time on the Soleil section just to see what they've got to offer. I also read the Husk series a week or two back that I think was through them, the first issue of that, and really enjoyed that. So this is a case where I think, certainly for the two of us and probably a lot of people, the entire imprint had just kind of been unfairly, I don't say written off, but you know what I mean, ignored and not getting the time of day to really, you know, get people to sample it, which is unfortunate. Anything else on that, or move on to the next book?
Let's move on. The next one is the Armory Wars, which I was insisting on reading as the Armory Wars and sticking an R in where it doesn't belong, but it's the Armory Wars, A-M-O-R-Y. In Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth 3, number 1. Long title of the week winner.
I think it's the longest title we've had on the Weekly Comic Spotlight to date, but I could be wrong. I don't think I am, though. This is just a long title.
Now, what was interesting about this is as I was kind of like poking around at it, it's written, created, and co-written by Claudio Sanchez, who is apparently in the band Coheed and Cambria, which I had never previously heard of. So this was not a plus or a minus to me, since I was unfamiliar with this guy. It did give me some interesting things because you have like little drops and references in the story to, you know, Coheed and Cambria and some of the words, you know, like people named Claudio and, you know, things like that, which I think are nice little in nuggets for people who are fans of the band. But, you know, for me, not knowing about them other than the fact that they exist, it didn't detract from the story. So I was okay with that. Now, also, this is the 3rd Armory Wars series. There were 2 previous series that came out from Image Comics, as I looked into it, that actually had art by Tony Moore. And I liked this issue enough, kind of jumping ahead a little bit, that I'm actually now poking around and I'm going to try to pick up those previous series. But This is a kind of a sci-fi story where you've got this guy, and this first issue kind of introduces us to the world, and there's lots of interesting concepts being thrown at us in this issue. I'm not sure at the end of the issue what the heck is going on,
you know,
but for some reason I enjoyed the ride, you know?
That was kind of where I was at. I mean, there were aspects of it I liked. Certainly, it's like, you know, they threw some ideas that it's like, I'm curious about this. It's kind of cool. I don't know what it means. But there were enough different... I was having a hard time taking the scenes they presented and fitting them together, and I don't say making sense of them, but it's like the early episodes of Heroes, where you've got Matt Parton and doing stuff, you got Hero doing stuff, you've got all these other people, and they never really connect for the first half dozen episodes, so it's like, okay, I like everything I'm seeing, but where's the... You don't see the big picture. And with this, and maybe it's because it's the third series out of, you know, who knows how many they're going to do, I was having a really hard time figuring out how this guy in the backyard of a suburban house had anything whatsoever to do with this, you know, sci-fi lab where they're, you know, cloning people or whatever, and, you know, some of this other stuff. It was all interesting and good, but I couldn't really tell where they were going on some of this or totally make sense of it. And it's not that it was incomprehensible, because I don't think that was it so much as they were telling a lot of story here in a lot of different pieces and places, and I just wasn't quite sure how it's all going to string together. It's one of those where it almost hooked me, but not quite. And maybe if the guy with the powers was a little more interesting to me, that might have done it. I might come back for more. I might not. I don't know. You know, I'm very much on the fence on this one.
Yeah, I can't define why I liked it, really. It kind of crept up on me because, I mean, I like sci-fi, and there's not a lot of good sci-fi comics out there. And what I liked about this was just those little vignettes that, you know, you're saying, like, you strung together and you didn't really know what was going on. Well, each one of them was written in such a way, and dialogue and pacing and all these kind of things, they interested me enough that I want to see what happens next.
And that's fair. I can see that. I guess,
you know, and I really want to know what the deal is with this guy. Because, you know, you have that father who's like, you know, slapping his little girl around, and this guy does something, right? And, you know, okay, well, now you're going to do it this way. And, you know, he tells the girl, you can't tell anybody, you know, what you saw here. Do you want me to erase your memory? And it's like, okay, that's kind of cool. What did he do? What's the deal with this guy? And I want to find out.
And I can see that. I mean, I was curious about that, but there was something about this, and maybe it was just the art felt a little inconsistent in places. Some of it I thought was better than others in terms of the pages and stuff. Again, I certainly have nothing against the book. It just, for me, it felt like it was lacking a little something, and I can't really put my finger on it. It had a lot of cool ideas thrown at me, but it feels like it was almost, I don't say getting randomly lobbed in my direction, but I didn't get enough of any one of them to say, ooh, that's a cool one, I want to see where it goes, or this guy's really cool, I want to see where it goes. And I didn't get anything that really got me attached to this guy again who was dealing with the bad father and stuff to make me say, wow, I want to see where his story goes. Now, flip side, I didn't have anything that made me say, I don't want to follow that either. And that puts me kind of sitting there square on the fence of, I could really go either way on this.
I think it has a lot to do with just what type of story people like.
And that's fair. This is one.
I mean, I tend to like these. This is right up my alley. When I move outside of Marvel and DC, this is the kind of comic book I want to read. Tales of the Dragon Guard is the kind of comic book I want to read. I want to read something that there is no chance in hell I would ever get that comic book from Marvel or DC, which is kind of why I kind of shy away from like the Project Superpowers kind of books,
mm-hmm.
you know, or Green Hornet or things like that, because, I mean, it's kind of another superhero book. And if I want to read the superhero book, I'm going to read the Marvel or DC superhero book. And when I kind of step outside of that box, I really like these kind of weird, kind of off type of books. You know, that's kind of like where we have the indie stuff that I tend to read and the indie stuff you tend to read. I tend to read more stuff like this. So it's probably more up my alley in the first place.
And that's fair. Certainly I tend to gravitate more towards the superheroic stuff. That's, again, just where my tastes lie. This is one where I felt if it had maybe a couple of more pages or something, it might have done a better job hooking me. I certainly, you know, want to see what you think of both subsequent issues of this and the previous miniseries. And if you think there's enough in there that would intrigue me or not. Because I think this certainly has the potential to hook me. It's just in the couple of in the pages we got in this issue, it didn't quite do that. I mean, like this character we get, the blue female with the wings, it's like, who is she? What's going on here? And again, how does that play in with everything else? It's one that had a lot of questions. I thought it ended on a strong note.
I had that same thought, but at the it's like I had that thought and I was like, oh well, I want to find out, so I'm gonna read more. And that's the kind of funny part, because there'll be some books that do that exact same thing and I won't care. You know, it's kind of like I'll be on the fence like you are. It's like, well, they left a bunch of questions open. I didn't get the answers, and it's like, if somebody gave me another one of them, I would read it, but I can't say that I'm compelled to go off and buy another one. And then in this case, they did that exact same thing, but something about it made me want to read more of it.
Well, and it comes down to, I think, that, you know, half the experience of reading a comic is what you bring to the table in terms of your tastes, your past experience, etc. And this one played more to your tastes than it did to mine. And there's, again, nothing right or wrong with that. It's just different things for different people. So certainly, you know, if you continue to read more of it, let me know what you think. Because it's the kind of thing that I think I'm open to reading more of it, but I need to be sold on reading more of it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm gonna guess it's gonna be a giant pain in the rear to track down those issues from Image. I don't even remember them being solicited. I mean, and I was, you know, we read previews every month, and so I'm sure I kind of just skimmed over them and said, that doesn't sound that compelling to me. I probably looked at, you know, the way they advertise this, like, the singer from Coheed and Cambria writes this thing, and I'm like, I have no idea what band that is. I don't care what that band is, so I guess I'm not going to care. And, you know, so they, by pushing that, they kind of, maybe they're going to get that audience, but I don't know how many, you know, indie rock band disciples are reading previews every month. You know, I'm sure there's a segment, no offense to anyone in the audience who is an indie rock band, but I would imagine that that's not going to be an overwhelming percentage of, you know, the previews readers.
Well, and almost by definition, all three of these books that we picked this week, we picked because to some way, shape, or form, their marketing and solicitations had failed to get us interested in the books to begin with. And I mean, clearly you really liked Tales of the Dragon Guard, yet Marvel couldn't convince you to try it out with their stuff in the Marvel previews. This seemed to click pretty well with you, and it didn't even seem to really register that it even existed when we went through the preview cycle. I think we both acknowledged Unknown Soldier as existing, but when it started, no, that's not for us. And again, sometimes that's the right decision, sometimes that's not, but to me it really goes to the talking to other comic fans, listening to podcasts, reading reviews, and getting exposed to what's out there and what other people think of it, to where you could say, hey, that is right for me, no, that's not, and here's why. You know, finding out about the comic is half the battle sometimes.
Yeah, and I would say that on the, on the whole, Unknown Soldier, I kind of called that one in that it's well done, but it's not up my alley for something that I want to read. Now, the other two, I'm glad I read them because I'm going to be picking them up, you know, here on out.
Now,
so,
what would you give the rating for this last one? I give it a 3.
I give it a 4.
Okay, that's fair.
I didn't like it as much as I like Tales of the Dragon Guard, but I liked it enough that I'm going to be going out and tracking down these other series, and I'm adding it to my, you know, pull moving forward to get the rest of this series. So
that's cool. For me, I would have to say out of the bunch, Unknown Soldier I thought was the best executed in terms of storytelling, etc. It just wasn't to my tastes. If I was going to continue with any of these, odds are it would probably be Tales of the Dragon Guard. Just because I liked the done-in-one aspect. I thought it was a better value for the money and stuff. But certainly I thought this last one of Armory Wars was interesting. I just wonder if maybe if I'd come in at that first number one, if I would have found it a bit more accessible or whatever. All in all, interesting bunch of comics. I thought that was a good kind of experiment for how we pick stuff. But man, I was surprised. I mean, again, the nine comics I read between last week's stuff and this week, again, with particularly the Tales of the Dragon Guard, just the extra length and how much story was in there was a lot more than I had expected. So obviously we haven't read anything else for this week since we haven't gotten anything else for this week.
Well, I have.
Oh, you have?
Through the miracle of variant covers.
Ah.
So I read Amazing Spider-Man because, you know, I get the variant covers of Amazing Spider-Man as they come out. So it's the Lizard, more of the Lizard storyline. I thought it was a pretty good issue. And Steve Niles was at a local comic shop here signing variant cover copies of Mystery Society number one. Mm-hmm. So I went over and saw him and chatted a little bit and got a signed copy and read that comic. I really liked it. That was another good one. And then picked up Incorruptible number six. I'm getting the after Free Comic Book Day. Those virgin covers that have the letters that spell out, you know, irredeemable and incorruptible.
Oh, right.
I've been picking those up, so I picked up that variant cover of Incorruptible today, and I read that. Another good one. So.
Well, I haven't gotten anything else, so I haven't read anything else. But obviously you have, so that's cool. So anything else for this week, or does that pretty much do it?
That does it.
Cool.
Join us next week when we discuss Red Hood, The Lost Days, number one from DC, The Thanos Imperative, number one from Marvel, and Mouse Guard, Legends of the Guard, number one from Archaea.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.